HealthLink on Air. Linda Cohen here along with you. Well, you know, visits to the emergency room can be quite challenging due both to the patient's symptoms and the stress inherent in these settings, trying to meet the needs of a variety of patient problems. But what happens when a patient decides that he or she has had enough and decides to leave AMA, that is, against medical advice? Well, here with me today to discuss this dilemma is Dr. Jay Brenner. He's Assistant Professor of Emergency Medicine and Assistant Professor in the Center for Bioethics and Humanities. He's also the Assistant Director to the Emergency Department at Upstate Community Campus. Welcome, Dr. Brenner. Thanks for coming in today.
Thank you very much.
So, AMA, I mean, we know there's an organization, the American Medical Association. That's what I think of immediately. But this is meaning against medical advice. So is this like going AWOL? What exactly is this?
Sure. Let me give you the physician's perspective, because sometimes the nursing perspective is a little different. Nurses tend to think of people who leave against medical advice as including anyone who leaves. Physicians tend to break it down a little bit more into people who leave without being discharged, leave without being seen, or actually leave against medical advice. And so the patients who leave against medical advice are usually actually filling out a form that says they understand the risk and benefits of their decision to leave against medical advice, and they're acknowledging that it's carrying with them some risk that the physician thinks is an unacceptable amount of risk.
So this actually, you're saying, is this kind of a legal distinction that you're making as you were describing the different circumstances? I mean, someone could just walk out of the emergency room after having checked in. Is that the same thing as someone who then is actually, in your terms, leaving against medical advice?
In our perspective, the patient who leaves without being seen by any provider, by either a physician or a mid-level provider or a resident physician, is distinct from someone who leaves against medical advice. And someone who leaves without being discharged is also distinct. Usually people who leave without being seen or discharged have decision-making capacity, and we respect them as any citizen or denizen in the country as someone that has the right to leave when they feel they're not getting the care that they want or deserve. However, the patients who leave against medical advice really have a distinction medically and legally, as well as ethically. Medically, we follow this because patients who leave without being seen, maybe it's because they're waiting too long, and that's a marker for us that we need to increase our efficiency. Patients who leave without being discharged and patients who leave against medical advice, unfortunately, there's about a basal rate that you'll never really accomplish complete success at preventing these patients. Mm-hmm. However, there's more of an opportunity in the patients who actually leave against medical advice to discuss the risk and try and persuade them to stay.
I'm still having trouble understanding how you characterize the difference. In other words, obviously someone who's never been seen, I mean, they wander in, they come to an emergency room, they're waiting in an inordinate amount of time, and they say, I can't, I've had enough, I'm just leaving. I would think that you don't have much responsibility for that person.
You know, there's a relative amount of responsibility for anyone that crosses the threshold into our emergency department or our hospital campus.
But there's definitely
a difference, because once someone has been seen, they're under our care and we feel responsible for them.
Right. So how does someone then become AMA, in other words, against medical advice? I mean, is there a process?
Sure.
They have to explain.
I'll
that.
Walk you through it.
Yeah.
I'll give you an example from last night.
Okay.
There was a lady who came in with chest pain radiating up to her left arm, and she went to an urgent care, and they said, you might be having a heart attack. You might be having a myocardial infarction. You should go to the emergency department. So she came to see us, and it was clear that she wasn't obviously having a myocardial infarction, but given her history and her risk factors, it was most appropriate for her to be admitted to the hospital and to be evaluated for possible coronary artery disease. However, she had many pets at home, and she did not want to stay in the hospital for risk of the pets suffering. And so she chose to leave against medical advice. She said to us, I would like to leave. I don't want to stay, when we presented our recommendation for admission. And so we had her sign the paperwork to leave against medical advice. She was fully much having decision-making capacity and was able to acknowledge the risks and benefits. And I believe that the interaction with her was a very positive one. I think she understood that we would be welcoming to her if she chose to return and seek care.
So that's my big question here. So in this case, obviously, she would be likely to return should she have continued concerns. Generally, is that what you find with people who leave AMA? I mean, well, what happens to them generally?
We have a lot of data here to sift through. This is, let me clarify, not as large a problem here at Upstate as it is nationwide or even internationally. Our latest data from the emergency department at the main campus at Upstate was a rate of about 0.35% of our patients leaving against medical advice. Certainly something that is acceptable and not going to improve much. However, a recent study from Montefiore in the Bronx showed a rate of 2.4%. And if you look internationally, there was a rate of 20% in Tehran. Now, maybe there are different conditions there, but it's important to think about who's leaving against medical advice. We know that a certain population does, the young, the male, the substance abusers, those who are of lower socioeconomic statuses, those who have left AMA before, those who feel better and don't really understand the abstract manifestation of medical illnesses, that sometimes you can be very sick even though you're not manifesting symptoms at the time, and those who might have other obligations, sickness in the family, pets to take care of, and those who don't have a physician. And so it's really a high-risk group. And what we do know is that, based on that Montefiore study, the 30-day mortality, the 30-day morbidity was much higher in the against medical advice population.
So they would be more likely to go on to have untoward consequences, something significant happening to them.
Nationally, this is what the data in the literature suggests. And in particular, if you look at specific populations like asthmatics, they're four times more likely to be readmitted if they leave against medical advice. If you look at patients with myocardial infarction who leave against medical advice, and I've had people who have done that, and they leave and they have a 60% greater mortality risk. So these, if we thought about patients who choose to leave against medical advice as a disease population, I don't think we would let this go on. However, there's obviously ethical considerations for the respect of the autonomy of the individual.
Well, that's what I want to point out. I think that the dynamic tension that exists here in my mind, and I think that you've already alluded to, is the kind of the Hippocratic notion or the duty to protect a patient that you must feel as a physician or any healthcare provider must feel versus the individual's right to refuse treatment. And that has to be a constant kind of dynamic tension that's going on at all times.
I frankly believe so, yes. The conflict is between the underlying principles within bioethics, between the respect for the autonomy of the patient and the beneficence of the patient. The physician is caring for the beneficence of the patient. The patient, and maybe their attorney, is caring about the respect for autonomy of the patient. And that makes it a little bit black and white and simplified. Obviously, physicians care about respect for autonomy of the patient as well. However, our main goal is to take care of the patient and make sure that they are safe and comfortable. And that's something that we sometimes are conflicted with when confronted with these patients.
It may get more complicated, although in some ways easier for the doctor, if the patient's mental status is altered, though. So if you have someone who's inebriated, for example, you know, very severely drunk or on drugs and very high and not being able to really reason clearly, I would think that you would be much more apt to try to make them stay and, in a sense, violate their autonomy.
Sure. There are a few vulnerable populations I'd like to touch upon. So those who are intoxicated are certainly unable to have decision-making capacity to sign out against medical advice. However, sometimes you don't know initially. And I had a patient who came in with chest pain, had EKG changes. There was concern for unstable angina, and the patient ended up being intoxicated, but was pretty good at not really showing it, obviously. Well, he left because we didn't have a watch on him at the time, and we had to actually get the sheriff's department to bring him back because of our concern for his safety. And we were able to keep him until he was sober enough to then sign out against medical advice. And his reason, he wanted to attend his son's graduation. So all of these patients, they all have very conflicted ideas of whether they should take care of themselves or others, as well as our conflict to take care of them. Now, there are a couple other vulnerable populations. So pediatrics and psychiatric. So pediatrics, there was a study about a mother who wanted to take a febrile infant home against medical advice. And about a third of the physicians surveyed said that they would have her sign out against medical advice. About a third said they would allow her to leave. And about a third said they would call Child Protective Services. And this data has been studied over the years because it has changed in the risk profile. Now in the age of vaccinations, febrile infants aren't quite as high risk as they used to be. And so I think it's always important to establish a relationship with the patient or whoever is taking care of them to make sure that they know that they can always come back. And sometimes the way that against medical advice forms are approached can be adversarial and create a non-welcoming environment. With psychiatric patients, there's another vulnerability. Often, these patients have forfeited their decision-making capacity because they're expressing active suicidality, homicidality, psychosis, and they need to be committed to a hospital until they can be guaranteed to be safe. However, after 72 hours in New York State, their commission expires. And the psychiatrists have to decide if they can get the court to continue with their commission, and perhaps they're not sick enough to warrant that. And often, in fact, we see rates as high as 50% of psychiatric patients leaving against medical advice because the psychiatrists deem that the patient has decision-making capacity. However, they think that they're someone who deserves further treatment in an inpatient setting.
So I'm trying to understand, is the whole concept against medical advice more of a legal one to protect the physician? In other words, you have this dynamic tension. The person's walked through your door. You have this sense of needing to take care of them. The beneficence of the patient is primary in your mind. And yet the patient then refuses care in some ways. And you need, because legally in some ways, it's my understanding that you are in some ways responsible should that patient leave and cause harm to someone else, themselves or someone else. Is that correct?
So let's touch upon the legal aspect of this. There is a case of a patient who came in with, again, atypical chest pain and had an EKG that was abnormal. There was concern of unstable angina, possible myocardial infarction, and she refused admission. The initial physician negotiated with her to stay in the emergency department and have another set of cardiac enzymes to make sure that there was no myocardial infarction. Well, he signed out to the next emergency physician who didn't quite understand all of the details of their conversation. He wasn't there. And when the patient requested to go, he allowed her to go, knowing that she had full decision-making capacity to make that decision. Unfortunately, she returned several hours later in cardiac arrest. She survived, but with significant disability. It became a legal case. And for full disclosure, I am the expert witness on this case for the defense. And my defense is this. Even though an against medical advice form wasn't technically signed, there was clear documentation that the risk and benefits of her decision were discussed with her. And the physician cannot be held liable for a patient who has decision-making capacities refusal to follow our recommendation.
Okay, that's a critical point, and I want to run out of time. So basically, because we're running out of time, you have to go through certain steps when you have a patient who wants to leave in terms of this AMA concept. You need to have them fill out forms or have someone else on the staff sign that they've refused to fill out forms so that you have this kind of documentation. Isn't that crucial?
There are three steps I believe in doing. One is involve family. If that requires using a social worker, do it. Two is to threaten against medical advice. Sometimes just the threat of it, when they realize how their judgment is poor, they will change their mind. And three is to follow through. If they insist upon it, do it, because sometimes they'll come back minutes later.
Very, very important. Listen, this is a very difficult but interesting problem. Thank you so much for coming in and sharing it with us. My guest has been Dr. Jay Brenner, and he is an assistant professor of emergency in the emergency department and also assistant professor in the Center for Bioethics and Humanities at Upstate Medical University. Stay right with us. We'll be right back after a short break.